The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Live from London, this is The Late Show with Genevieve Bent on Teachers Talk Radio.
Good evening. It is 8 p.m. Welcome to The Late Show. I'm Genevieve Bent and I'm here with you until 9:30 p.m. this evening. Coming up, we'll be discussing summer school and catch up, how and why the Black Teachers Connect Network was founded with Rhea Gibbs, and we'll be talking Olympics. It's Thursday evening. This is Teachers Talk Radio and we are live.
Live from London. This is The Late Show with Genevieve Bent on Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live on the Podbean app or desktop player. Just head over to www.podbean.com/lsw/ttradio or search Teachers Talk Radio. Follow the hashtag TTRadio.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening to those of you who are entering the live studio this evening. It is Genevieve Bent, and you're here with me on The Late Show on this drizzly grey Thursday evening. But I'm really happy to have you here with me. It has been a while, and I know that I've sort of been a bit vacant when it comes to Teachers Talk Radio, but it's just been such a busy couple of weeks with the end of term and starting the summer holidays and other commitments. But I'm really pleased to be back, and of course, you know, I enjoy speaking to you guys. I love having you in the studio, and of course, I'd love for anyone to tune in and talk it out with me. You heard him. As always, you know, connect with us, connect with me. It's at TTRadio2021 on Twitter. It's hashtag TTRadio. You can follow the hashtag, or you can connect with me personally if you're not already. It's at Vive Wright on Twitter. And of course, we have an amazing website, which is ttradio.org. If you haven't been on the website so far and you do listen to Teachers Talk Radio, please do, you know, log on, have a look. You can find out all of the hosts that are part of Teachers Talk Radio, and you can also listen back to any of the previous shows. So do connect with us, follow us on Twitter, visit our website, and connect, tune in, and talk it out, as we say. And of course, for any of you who have listened previously, you know that if you call in, you can win a mug. Now, I've had a couple of people call in and win a mug for themselves, but I'm waiting for more people to, you know, I guess, take the plunge and call in and speak with me. But I would love for anybody to come in and share their thoughts on anything that I discuss each Thursday evening. If you are entering the live studio, please do, of course, let me know that you're here. Check in with me so I can see who's here with me tonight. I know that it's been a crazy couple of weeks for me, but how are you guys? Of course, I love to start off the show and just check in on how we are all doing. It is the second week of the summer holidays for me, and I know it's the third week of summer holidays for some lucky people who broke up before I did. But happy summer, everybody. I know that it's not exactly the most beautiful weather outside, but it's, you know, I'm here. I'm getting a chance to relax finally. And yeah, just trying to enjoy that break away from school. Now, there has been a lot of debate on Edu Twitter regarding being productive or resting. Are you reading educational books or are you reading fiction? I mean, I've done almost nothing since breaking up, and it has been the best feeling. My bedtime routine is completely just destroyed. you know, go to bed early hours of the morning, as you do when you haven't got any wake up in the morning, and waking up whatever time of the day. And it's literally been amazing. I mean, I couldn't do it for the rest of my life for sure, but just having that time to do absolutely nothing has been fantastic. If you are entering the live studio, please do send a text in, text us, text me, let me know that you're here, and let me know what you're doing with your summer. So are you being productive? Are you getting loads of educational reading in? Are you doing CPD? What are you doing? Like I said, I've done pretty much nothing since breaking up. I've really enjoyed myself, but I have, you know, I've had some semi-productive hours, I would say. Kemi and I, so I don't know if anyone follows Kemi on social media. That's Kemi O. She is the founder of the Young Black Teachers Network. We did a Science of Afro Hair session for Manchester Museum, and that was it was really, really good. Not something that I thought I would have been given the opportunity to do, but I know that there's an exhibition coming up regarding Afro hair. So Science of Afro Hair, that we did a 2-hour session with them for Manchester Museum, which was available to watch back on YouTube and streamed live at the time. That was really good. So that was quite productive. And for anyone who has connected with me on my social media, the last week has been massive for me. And it's really nice the reason why I love Twitter is because you get to share all of those celebrations with people, you become friends with people. And I've just had so much support on Twitter over the last week. It's been amazing. But I finally graduated. So my graduation was put off and off and off, obviously regarding the pandemic and everything. But I did my graduated from my master's in science education, and it was such a lovely time. It was virtual, so it wasn't, you know, in life. I know some universities have done real life ones, but my one, you know, real life, you know what I mean, but my one was virtual, and you know, it was still really, really good afternoon. My thesis, which I've had lots of amazing feedback on, was about Black women, or Black British Caribbean women, and their experiences in science education in the compulsory British education system. So that was an opportunity for me to really explore my personal interests and things that are close to me, and in the context of science ed, being a science educator, of course. So that was one amazing thing. And then the second amazing thing was I've managed to a project that I had taken part in, I'd been given this amazing opportunity in, went live on Sunday. So again, if you are connected with me, you may have seen it. But that was the ITV Creates collaboration. I wonder if there's anyone who has seen any of those collaborations, but they're between artists and people in other walks of life. So they've been running all of 2021 from January to December, and they are just an opportunity to recreate the ident, that's the ITV logo, before programs. And so I had been given this opportunity to collaborate with Walter and Zonio, and they are two installation artists. And we created a piece called Spectra, which is a virtual meeting of minds. And it was looking at how we can collaborate science and art and thought and emotional processing and bring it together to make this, you know, visual production. And it was such an enjoyable experience. It really, really was. And it went live on Sunday, the 1st of August. And, you know, I don't know if anyone watches live TV, but it is shown before each program, particularly in the afternoon and evening. And so that is something that it's still quite surreal, because I've seen myself a couple of times on TV, and it's just crazy. But that was really an opportunity to bring science to life and collaborate with science and art. And we did elephant's toothpaste. So for anyone who is a science educator, elephant's toothpaste is that beautiful foamy experiment. And if you put food coloring in, you get all of those really beautiful colors. And so, yeah, that was my role in the project. And it was such an amazing opportunity, as I've said. So, yeah, I've had some small snippets of productivity, but If you are in the live studio, do text in and let me know what you have done this summer. Have you been productive? Have you done pretty much nothing? We are going to talk about the Olympics later on, which has taken up a lot of my time. And I've really enjoyed that. You know, that's taken up a lot of my summer. But what have you guys been up to? Do let me know. So we are talking about summer school today, and we are talking about summer school and summer school initiatives. And as you know, if you are a teacher or you work in a school, or you are up to date with education, you would have known that the DfE provided funding to schools to run summer school programs and, of course, catch up initiatives. And the beginning of June, apologies, my throat is going, so I'll be back after this.
Creative Resources, made for teachers by teachers. At Creative Resources, we've been rethinking what a classroom can be. We've created a huge range of more than 2,500 original and exciting resources that span across more than 15 different subject areas. Whether you're looking for primary or secondary level resources, careers options, PSHE, arts or humanities, Creative Resources have the resources for you. We offer full curriculum packages and unique challenging escape rooms themed on topics such as Shakespeare, Tudors and fractions. We have quizzes, task cards, Tarsia puzzles and lots more. Better still, more than 100 resources can be accessed for free. Just visit our website www.creativeresources.com. You can get 10% off any order you make on our website by using the discount code TT Radio. Creative Resources, made for teachers by teachers.
Thank you, and I am back. So we're discussing summer school initiatives, and I put out on Twitter earlier today just wondering who is taking part in summer school, just as a sort of, just to get a gauge of you know, how many teachers are involved and that sort of thing. So as I was saying, that on the 2nd of June, the DfE announced, you know, this package of just over £1 billion, you know, regarding catch-up initiatives and tutoring and that sort of thing. Now, I know it was less than what originally had been proposed, but of course that money has been being spent on supporting, I think, primarily tutoring courses for the more disadvantaged young students, and lots of it is being invested in training and supporting teachers as well. Now, when it came to looking at summer schools, I went onto the DfE website and just trying to get an idea of sort of what their idea of summer school was. Now, of course, that's going to be different according to different schools and different councils and different trusts and that sort of thing. But according to the website, the aim of the program, drawing on the evidence of good practice, is to deliver a short summer school offering a blend of academic education and enrichment activities. Now, I'm taking part in summer school, so I will be in school for the next couple of weeks doing various things, not teaching in summer school, but definitely overseeing on a couple of days. And of course, there's results days and that sort of thing. But when I had, you know, I wanted to find out a little bit about what other teachers are doing, if other teachers are taking part. And so I just put that poll up, and an overwhelming 62% of teachers who you know, took part in the poll are actually not doing any summer school, which I thought was really, really good. Which means that they have the summer to themselves, which of course is so important because this is our resting time. But I know that there are lots of teachers who are involved in summer schools, and I've seen pictures of camps and basketball camps, sports camps, lessons that are taking place. And in my school, we are doing a 2-week program. So year 10s are coming in, and incoming year 7s are going to be taking part as well. And we're doing a nice mix of sessions, so PE, arts, and some core subjects. But I think what was really good was that there was opportunity for all staff, of course, to get involved. And actually, there were lots of staff who wanted to do the summer school. They wanted to take part in it. And I think part of that was the fact that we didn't get a transition opportunity. So for year sixes to come in, I don't know how many other schools didn't get that opportunity either. But because they hadn't been able to come in with the guidance that had changed, this is going to be the next best thing for them. So a lot of teachers were really excited to meet some of those year sixes before September. And so it's sort of a balance of both year 10s and year 7s. Part of it catch up, lots of it is going to be an opportunity for them to just be in a school environment, taking part in enrichment, I guess running off some steam and that sort of thing, but also getting the opportunity to be really creative. And I was really pleased in terms of my department in science, a lot of the teachers wanted to take part. They wanted to be part of that summer school, which was really a testament to the teachers that we have in the department. And I think Anna might be in the live studio. So thank you, Anna, who is also taking part in that summer school. But it was just really interesting to know that actually a large percentage of teachers who had, answered the poll are not taking part in anything. And I think that's, if you don't want to, that's exactly how it should be. You should be able to use your summer holiday as you please, really. Particularly this year where it's been such a demanding year and there's been so much going on and so much guidance change and that sort of thing, just getting the opportunity to relax and do nothing, it is really important and will be really important this summer. Evelyn has texted in, so thinking about her summer, what she's done this summer. So she has read text for her first English unit, moving from year 6 to year 5. Oh, so you're moving classes or age range and year group, should I say, and sorted my new classroom. But other than that, I've been relaxing, reading for pleasure and a few days in Manchester. Yeah, Evelyn, agree with you. Literally, I've been reading for pleasure. It's been really relaxing. I haven't done what you've done. I certainly haven't sorted out any new classrooms, but I've seen lots of lovely displays on Twitter where people have shown off, what their displays and what their new classroom setup looks like. And honestly, I've done none of that. I haven't been into school. I have been on emails. There has been some really important things going on, particularly ahead of results day next week and enrollment. I do sixth form as part of my role, so that sort of thing. But you know what? It's literally been the least productive I have been in a long time, and enjoyably so. So thank you, Evelyn, for letting me know. If there's anyone else who wants to come in and share what they have been doing this summer or what they intend to do this summer. But I was saying earlier, for those of you who joined a little bit later, there has been this sort of debate that's been going around in terms of productivity or resting. And for me, it's definitely been the latter. And like I did say, we are going to be talking Olympics later on. And that has literally taken over my life this year, literally taken over my life. Not this year, but this summer, the last couple of weeks, particularly as athletics has been, becoming even more sort of out there in terms of the types of events that are being shown now. It's been a crazy couple of weeks, and I just wanted to think about, how do we use our time? What is the best way to use our time? Is there a best way when it comes to summer holidays, or is it literally just down to what people feel and how they see fit? I had Sarah, who has tweeted me to let me know what she has been doing this summer. She has said that she did a lot last summer, 2 weeks of curriculum development, a week of summer camp development, and 4 weeks of delivery, which is crazy, which sounds crazy to me, if I'm honest. She does work overseas. She works in the United States. So I know that their summer is a lot different. Well, does it make sense? A little bit different, very much different. I know it's not quite English compared to ours, but she did say it was totally her choice. So she spent a week with the physics team and one with the environmental team. So I know the structuring is different as well, and it is paid. So everything that she was doing was paid. And And the curriculum development time was completely uninterrupted. So she was able to continue and just get on with that. And I think it also varies according to what what your role is in school. So if you are a senior leader, there are going to be different demands and different responsibilities on you, of course. Whereas if you're a classroom teacher, you might want to do things more voluntarily and work on your classroom and so on and so forth, even though that isn't, it's not demanded of you or anything like that. So it does really vary. So I think, summer school it's all going to well, the students are going to get a lot out of it, hopefully. But I mean, we're not going to be talking about summer school all evening, of course. And we have got a very special guest who is going to be joining me this evening. And she is, I'm sure if you are connected with her, then you know all about her work. But that is Rhea Gibbs. And I'm really looking forward to having her join me in the live studio to talk about her work in or for the Black Teachers Connect and everything that she has done with that. It's going to have a really exciting conversation and learn a little bit more about what she does. Because I think with Twitter, particularly if you follow quite a lot of people, you do miss out on, their journey and things that are happening and updates sort of thing, but just because the timeline moves so far. So I'm really interested myself to learn, quite a bit more about what she's been doing and how that's gone. And I wonder if there's anyone in the live studio who connects with Black Teachers Connect and has actually benefited from all the amazing work that she is doing. I'd be really interested to know. So there is an opportunity for people to text in and let me know how they are doing. We are going to move to the news because Rhea is going to be joining us soon in the live studio. So I'll be back after this.
This is Teachers Talk Radio, and this is Teachers Talk Radio News.
This is your latest Teachers Talk Radio News with Gail Glenn. In Scotland, the First Minister Nicola Sturgeon has announced that the wearing of face masks and social distancing in schools will remain for the first 6 weeks of the new academic year, which begins around the 16th of August. She stated that this also reflects the unique environment of schools, where large numbers of unvaccinated children and young people mix with adult staff. So for up to 6 weeks, subject then to review, there will be a continued requirement for staff to keep at least 1 metre distance from each other and from children and young people while on the school estate. She said, "We have also decided, after careful consideration, to retain the current requirements for face coverings in schools for staff and for children aged 12 or over. This includes asking young people and staff in secondary schools to wear face coverings during lessons and while inside school buildings." The First Minister also announced a further £10 million to local authorities to be allocated for improved ventilation and CO2 monitoring equipment in schools. In England, research carried out by Oxford Homeschooling using Department for Education data has monitored the largest increase and decreases in bullying exclusions between 2018-19 and 2019-20. Barking in Dagenham was the largest hotspot, showing a 200% increase in the number of suspensions and permanent exclusions from bullying. Figures were shown to more than double in 10 local authorities. Nationally across England, the data is more positive, and this is thought to be the result of school closures affecting the amount of time which students spent in contact with one another. The number of bullying exclusions fell by 31% in 2019-20. Greg Smith, head of operations at Oxford Homeschooling, said, These new exclusion figures cover the whole of the 2019-20 school year. But with the final term being conducted during lockdown, it's interesting to see how the data compares to previous totals. In many ways, the measures introduced during the pandemic, like reduced class sizes and increased supervision, have helped address the country's bullying problem. So it will be interesting to see if schools try to adopt some of these permanently, even though restrictions are easing. This has been your daily education news briefing.
Live from London, this is The Late Show with Genevieve Bent on Teachers Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to The Late Show with me, Genevieve Bent. Now, we are going to be joined by a very special guest soon, but I wanted to talk a little bit about teacher networks. Oh, hello to Anna, who's texted in. well, at least you heard me, Anna. You was going to do some work, but went hiking, kayaking and paddleboarding in Devon instead, and work will start next week. Anna, it sounds like you've had a very, very adventurous couple of, well, not even couple of weeks yet, because it's not quite 2 weeks, way more than I've done, I'll put it that way, and have really enjoyed your, you know, your summer holidays. I know we started it off well. For again, for anyone who's connected with either Anna or myself on Twitter, we did tweet some photos. We went to the zoo as a department for the last day of term, and that was really fun, really enjoyed myself. And I know that you had put a lot of organization into that, so thank you. It looks like the adventure continued. But yeah, so I wanted to discuss a little bit about teacher networks in general. Now, we know that, you know, as a teaching community, there are lots of different areas for support, and you know, teachers are very supportive of one another generally, aside from the, you know, the occasional Twitter spats that happened. But networks, particularly niche networks, have really grown in the last few years, way more than I remember happening in my first couple of years of teaching, or maybe I just wasn't as exposed to it. But there are so many different niche networks now that I feel like there are so many areas or sort of places to reach out to for support outside of not just your school, or not just your, you know, your postcode, but actually just reaching out to people that are in similar circumstances to you, similar situations, similar schools, that sort of thing. And there was years and years ago, there was a report that came out from the Sutton Trust about, you know, effective teaching, etc., etc. But one of those things was really talking about, you know, building relationships with not just colleagues that are in your school, but also colleagues that are in the profession, of course, and actually just, you know, building that support network. And what I've seen over time is that there are some really amazing things that are happening, not just, I know I keep referring to Twitter, but on Twitter, on social media, where they're becoming readily accessible and you are literally, you know, within fingertips of connecting with people like yourself, whether that is, you know, in your subject specialism, whether that is to do with gender, whether that is to do with race or background. There are so many different ways for you to reach out and actually make those connections and really support yourself and support others. And of course, because of, you know, me just thinking about the sort of booming growth of networks over the last couple of years, the person that is joining us this evening, I know she's just entered the live studio, came to mind, of course. I've been wanting to get her on the show for a couple of, for a few weeks now, but in terms of like just planning, I wanted to make sure that it was, that she got the opportunity to really talk about everything that she's done and how amazing it has been. And so my special guest for this evening is Rhea Gibbs. Now, Rhea is a sociology and criminology teacher. And of course, she is the founder of Black Teachers Connect Network. So Rhea, are you here? Can you hear me?
Hi, Jen. Can you hear me?
Hi, I can hear you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It's lovely to have you in the live studio. I know it's not your first time.
I know, this is my third time coming on Teachers Talk Radio, but it's clear that I love it so much. So.
You just love it, don't you?
So I definitely have to make my appearances now and again.
Good, good. I'm so glad that you were able to join me today, because I know it's, I was talking about it's the fact that it's the holidays, you know, and not necessarily being the most productive. But thank you for giving up your part of your evening to join me today, especially when I know Love Island's coming on soon.
No, probably. Yeah, I know Love Island's coming on soon. This episode is about to be great, but
I know. Do you want to, I know I gave you a really tiny introduction, but do you want to give a quick introduction to the listeners on who you are and your journey in teaching?
Yeah, so as Jen said, my name's Rhea Gibbs. I am a sociology and criminology teacher and the founder of Black Teachers Connect. So I started my teaching journey in 2018, straight out of uni, straight into teaching. So I was a bit, you know, skeptical about coming into teaching, but, you know, I applied for my PGC, I got onto the course, and I was like, you know what, let me go for it, because it's something I've always wanted to do. And I just said, you know what, let me do it. When I started the journey and I got into teaching, I just thought to myself, like, there's actually just a lack of Black teachers here. But I think it's something, when I started Black Teachers Connect, it's something that I wanted to tackle. But in terms of my journey into teaching in general, it's definitely been a hard one. I definitely say to people, like, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. There's this false perception that teaching is just simply going into school, teaching lessons, leaving school at 3:30 when the kids are leaving, having these weeks of holiday, and that it's just bliss. And I think when I went into the profession, no one could really prepare me for what it was going to be. There was no real actual prep for it. As much as I went on a first placement and a second placement, I still think you don't know what real teaching is until you're in the classroom on your own classes, own responsibilities. That's when you really start to develop yourself as a teacher. So I think my journey's been interesting. Definitely demonstrated some strengths. I definitely have areas for improvement, like every other practitioner, but it's been a wonderful journey, and as much as it can be difficult, it's definitely rewarding. I do enjoy being a teacher. I hope I have a few more years to go in the classroom. But we never know. But yeah, I have enjoyed it. And so, yeah, I do encourage people to, you know, just have a look at it. It's not for everyone. But sometimes people say to me, you know, I've always thought about being a teacher. I say, well, just look into it, because you never know. It's not for everyone, but it could be for you.
Definitely, definitely. I think you made an important point there about the fact that, you know, it isn't the easiest job. And I think people, you know, for years and years and years, there's always been the stereotype that teachers are lazy, or teachers have this 9-to-3 job and then they go home and that's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it is very, very different once you start. So firstly then, can you tell us about your reasons for founding Black Teachers Connect? I know you just alluded to it, but really, what were the main reasons that you wanted to, you know, what made you decide to start this?
So when I started teaching, so in the initial stages of teacher training, when I first initially went to my first lecture in university, I was like, wow, where are the Black people? Kind of thing. And I was like, wow, because I'm thinking I'm in a London uni, UCL, IOE, you know, I'm in the hub of London, central London. Where is the diversity in this room? And the more and more I have conversations with people, I'm recognizing that actually there's a lack of Black teachers. I've gone into my first placement, I don't see that many Black teachers. So I start to delve into the statistics, because I never actually really looked at the statistics of different teachers from different ethnic backgrounds going into teaching, because I guess it wasn't something that I was hugely concerned with. And so when I looked at the statistics and it said 2% of teachers are from a Black, African and Caribbean background, I was shocked. I had no idea going into the profession that I would be a minority. No idea whatsoever. And I thought to myself, if I can start my placements and I'm beginning to feel some isolation, you know, I'm at university, there's not necessarily a lot of Black trainee teachers as well, I'm starting to feel a little bit like I stand out. Some of the things I'm dealing with at school, maybe at microaggressions, hints of racism, and I'm starting to feel a little bit odd about these different things that are taking place. And I think to myself, I wonder if anyone else is feeling like that. And then my other cohort, so on the social sciences PGCE, I trained actually with a lot of Black women. There weren't a lot of Black men. I started to hear their experiences of racism with their mentors, for example, or with the students, and that the school just kind of brushed it off and never dealt with it. And I thought to myself, if this is us, a cohort of young students out of university training to be teachers, what is happening to the teachers who are currently in the system that have no network for them and no other Black teachers to talk to? And so I just started to brainstorm, and I thought to myself, do you know what? Black Teachers Connect. It just makes sense. What can I do to bring together Black teachers in this space in the UK and beyond to be able to bring us together so we don't have to feel isolated, we don't have to feel alone, we can share experiences, we can share knowledge, we can be better with one another? And how can I create that? And so as a result of that, Black Teachers Connect birthed, and since then it's been a whirlwind journey.
Yes, I remember seeing it first of all on Twitter, like really, really early days. And I was like, what is this? And I just remember it sort of, and well, I remember, it, you know, that it grew quite quickly from then and like to the point where it is now. And I don't know if any of the listeners are connected with Black Teachers Connect, but yeah, it's literally been a, I guess, just from an a viewer's point of view, it's been like growing exponentially. So yeah, massive. I mean, everything that you said, I completely remember. And Aziza, I don't know if you know Aziza, she is an acting principal now, and she did a thread not too long ago. I think it was a week or so, a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
She just talked about, you know, she's a Black British African, and she said 0.2% or something like that of head teachers were female and Black African. And yeah, I mean, everything that you said completely, completely sort of connect with and understand. So it really makes sense. Why was it important to you that you did this then?
I just felt like, you know what, let me do something that everyone can benefit from, because I don't want people to feel like they should be able to walk away from the profession, because so many people that I was training with was like, it's just not worth it. I'm going to leave. And I just think to myself, I had a Black teacher when I was in college, and she taught me sociology, which is what I teach now, funnily enough. And she was so pivotal in me recognizing my strength, my ability, my greatness, my excellence. And I thought to myself, if other Black students and white students having Black teachers in the classroom, that's a different type of motivation. Seeing someone that has become this academic, this amazing person, they're full of knowledge, they're able to give you that guidance like no other. And for me, it was really important to have Black Teachers Connect as a hub in the UK where Black teachers can go to, where they can feel connected with one another, where they can have, we can have events, you can connect with other Black teachers, you can create your circle that can uplift you and can hold you at a time where you might feel negative. You know, I want people to be able to come onto our Instagram post after a long day at work and maybe have a giggle or have a laugh and just feel like, you know, they can relate to us, or someone else is going through it too, and so you shouldn't feel alone. And that's the main thing that we wanted to achieve. It really is always and always has been about community, and so that's the main thing that we've been able to achieve as a result of this.
I love that. I remember following the Black Teachers Connect on Instagram pretty soon after you'd made the Instagram, and it's been really lovely to see all the things that are, that you know, you guys post, and really being able to connect and interact with that. So how has it grown then? Again, you sort of talked about it growing into this collective and a place where teachers can, you know, I guess, feel supported and feel things that they can engage with. Like, how's it grown since you founded it? What have been some of the major achievements as a collective?
So on the social side and network side, we've grown, as you said, like exponentially in such a short period of time. So this time last year in June, we had like 800 followers. We now have over 6,000. So we've grown in really short space of time. Our community has grown. So the people that engage with us, the people that connect with us. We were nominated for a National Diversity Award just recently. We weren't shortlisted, unfortunately, but there's always another year to come. We've registered as a community interest company, which is really important to me because I want people to recognize everything that they put into Black Teachers Connect goes back into our community. So nothing is for profit. We don't do it because we want to take home the big bucks. We do it because anything that we are going to charge you for an event, be it CPD, it feeds back into the community. So it allows us to be able to have support calls with our teachers, to be able to fund our Zoom, to be able to do what we have to do to be able to basically support our community. Mm-hmm. Other milestones, our mentorship scheme is getting ready to launch in September. Our mentors and mentees have been matched, which is something I'm really excited about.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really exciting, the fact that we have NQTs, training teachers, going into teaching, and they are going to be mentored by someone who is a Black teacher who has been in this profession, be it senior leader or very well in their career for a very long period of time, and someone to be a soundboard to them, to give them advice and really guide them through their journey, something that people don't really have before. So that's something I'm really excited about, and that's Mary on our team that's leading that. And the team has grown, you know, since we started, because it was me, and I think people kind of still associate the Instagram account with me, and they still associate like the Twitter with me, because it's like, oh, it's Rhea, but it's still, it's Black Teachers Connect, because it was me at the beginning. It was me on everything.
It is.
And it's like my team has grown, and they are doing so much work behind the scenes. And it's just been an incredible journey. We've worked with a lot of different companies, you know, we've had reached out by Penguin, we've been sent books, you know, people are really engaging with the fact that Black teachers are pivotal and they are necessary and that they need to be protected. I think at the beginning of the journey, it got a little bit misconstrued that we were saying it should just be Black teachers, you know, we're just here to fight for Black teachers. But no, it's just about the idea that in school, Black teachers might be dealing with things that maybe a white teacher doesn't have to deal with. And it's how we tackle that on all levels. And it's also for the children too, because people must remember the teachers are impacting on the children. So anything we are doing is really to help the future generation.
Of course, of course. And how has it felt just seeing like it's grown from just you and your baby to now being a team of people? How does that feel?
It feels good, you know, it feels amazing. Like when I have meetings with my team, I'm like, wow, we have a team. Like, because I never knew where this was going to go when I started it. You know, I was still very much a baby in my career. Still, I'm a baby in my career. And I never knew how far it was going to go. But there's something about having a team with me that has helped to propel me and also helped to ground me, because they are the ones that say to me, you need to just take a break. Like, it's not every day. And I'm like, it's true, because they are saying, I can't pour from an empty cup and I can't pour into other Black teachers if I'm empty myself. And so having a team has been really beneficial, and just watching it grow has been, it's been amazing. When I was away in Manchester recently, and someone came up to me and was like, oh my gosh, you started Black Teachers Connect. I was like, what? You know, and I was
famous.
That's what my boyfriend was saying. He's like, you're famous. And I'm like, no. But it's, those are the things where I'm like, wow, you know, we've actually had impact. And that's the one thing that I wanted. Even if it was one teacher that we impacted on, we've actually done it. And for me, it's just so lovely to have the community of teachers there. It's an amazing journey, and it's just about pushing forward. So we branched out, and me personally is branching out into consultancy and training schools and training teachers. Really, really great. And it's just about continuing on that journey going forward, and just making sure that our community stays tight and supports one another.
Yes, I love that. And I know you talked about mentorship as well. So how do you see Black Teachers Connect growing, you know, in the near future? And how do you hope, you know, you talked about obviously it affecting young people, and the whole point of it is for young people, of course, and for education. How do you see it affecting the landscape of education in sort of the bigger picture?
I definitely think we will be creating a lot of senior leaders, propelling people into their careers to go further and forward and to push for what they really want. And I definitely think we're going to change the landscape of education and making teaching seem like a career that children can aspire for, because I think all too much sometimes when we have burdens on ourselves in the classroom, sometimes as teachers we don't even recognize that we make the profession look undesirable to our students. The way we kind of talk about teaching, the way we kind of carry ourselves in our profession, we make it seem undesirable. And I think for us, the way we are helping our teachers to boost their confidence, to tackle the issues that they're facing head on, to give schools the tools to be able to deal with racism, to deal with microaggressions in a way that supports the whole community, means that children will now see teaching as something that they can go into and a desirable career. And it means that we'll have teachers who last longer in the profession, because it's not just about recruitment, it's about retention.
Yeah,
if Black teachers are leaving within 5 years of the profession, it means that they're more than unlikely to get to any senior leadership level. And that's where we really see that massive gap. So we might have teachers in the classrooms, but do we have them in leadership positions to actually, as you said, change that landscape of education? Until we are in those positions, changing the policies in schools, changing what's happening in terms of training teachers, in terms of what's happening with students, exclusions, etc., that won't be able to happen until we occupy those positions. And through our work, through CPD, through mentoring others, through giving them that training, we're able to help push them into that. And there are so many other networks that are also doing these things as well, which is so important.
Yeah.
But the more and more we are able to get people into those positions, the more the landscape of education will change. But yeah, I do just see us becoming the hub for Black teachers. So I just really, we really want to be the space where it's like, as soon as you go into teacher training, you know how they give you your NEU subscription and they're like, it's free. For free this year, I want Black students to be able to have the availability to know about, well, this is Black Teachers Connect. This is a hub specifically for Black trainee teachers or NQT teachers for you to be able to go to. You should know about it from the very first year of your career. And that should be the place where you can go to. That's definitely something that I want implemented, because I never had it. And I can't imagine what I'd be like if I did have it going into that first year.
And that's the thing, that's just before we started talking, I was talking about, you know, the fact that networks have, we've seen more and more networks growing, and, you know, places to connect with other teachers, colleagues that are not in our schools or in our borough or even in our areas. Mm-hmm. And Black Teachers Connect is one of those networks that I just think of, you know, that I wanted to connect with someone, I want to discuss something, or I just want to see what they're posting on Twitter and that sort of thing. And like I said, I didn't have that when I was becoming a teacher. It was just the union and that was it. There wasn't really spaces outside of that, I felt, that I could talk to people, connect with people. You know, it was just my school, it was the union and that was it. So it's really great that, you know, you and other teachers and other organizations are just growing and allowing teachers to have that space and have that that place to really connect and interact with others. And particularly when you have, you know, such so many things in common, like, you know, but just being a Black woman, for example. And it's funny, actually, because, you know, you talk to you're talking to me as a young Black British woman, and a Caribbean, Black British Caribbean woman. And I was just talking earlier about my thesis was based on Black British Caribbean women's experiences in science. It was science education, but in the British educational system. And it's things like, you know, what you're talking about in terms of how to deal with situations or having teachers who are going to champion you or colleagues or whatever it is so important.
It's so important for those teachers to be able to just give you that boost. You know, I never recognized my excellence, I don't think, as a young teenage girl in school. I didn't have any Black teachers in secondary school, and I left secondary school with good grades, even though my predicted grades were so low, they were still so good. And when I went to college, my Black teacher, Miss Carter, who I still speak to this day, she was pivotal in changing my outlook. And so when we say things like, oh, representation matters, I genuinely believe some people are so tired of hearing that, but it's until you're in that situation do you recognize how important it is. That new Black teacher that comes to your workplace that you're working with, and it's like, oh my gosh, someone else that I can maybe connect with, do you know what I mean, and maybe just have a conversation with about that, about how I feel about that journey or about something I'm dealing with. And as you said about being Black British and Caribbean, it's definitely a nuance that I definitely look at in university, that can definitely be, can have many layers to it, and it can be difficult sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. We've got a question before I move on. We've got a question. Yeah. And Gabriella said, how did Rhea branch out into other ventures?
So in terms of branching out into other ventures, writing was something that I started to do at the beginning of Black Teachers Connect, so writing blog posts. And just since I tweet a lot. And when you tweet a lot, I think people kind of recognize that you've got a lot to say. And so I've been able to branch out into writing for different publications, writing for different books. And I think really, and this might sound a bit cliche, but I think it's just showing off your excellence in any area you want to. I think sometimes you don't have to be an expert in a particular area to think that you can branch off into it, because I never thought to myself that I could say, yeah, I'm a consultant in education, but I am.
Here you
because
are.
I am, because I can change the scope of a school, I can change the scope and outlook of a senior leader or of a teacher through one conversation. I'm able to build that training into your institution. So I think it's about recognizing your strengths, the areas that you're able to build on, and moving into that. So it wasn't necessarily deliberate that I moved into those things. It kind of just happened.
Yeah.
And since then, it's just kind of been a whirlwind. But, and I think connecting with people is so important. That's why I say places like Twitter, so important. I've connected with so many people on Twitter that have given me opportunities. I don't know if anyone remembers when I used to do Teach Meet Buffet.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So when we used to do Teach Meet Buffet, that was from me being on Twitter and for people recognizing the work from Black Teachers Connect, connecting with individuals, and then you go on from there. So it's all about that networking, I think, that can be really important. And we give people that opportunity from Black Teachers Connect. I even had people in my comments the other day on some of the posts saying, oh my gosh, I didn't know you were a teacher, to someone else. And I'm like, oh wow. So they know each other and they didn't even know that they were teachers, both of them. Yeah. And so people are able to just connect in this very nuanced way. So that's something that I would encourage to do if you want to branch out into other areas or into other things.
Yeah, talking about Teach Meet Buffet, I do remember that. I remember attending, and I also remember you inviting me to speak at one of them. And I did that. I think I did my short session on, I think it was diversity in STEM.
Yeah.
But those are great. And it is so important. I've talked about Twitter so much on this show, but I cannot just stress how much Twitter has just helped in terms of just visibility and just putting yourself out there and not boasting or bragging, but just sharing your accomplishments, because that's what it's about. And I think it's become, it was always difficult, you know, people look at you, are you boasting, are you bragging? No, it's just about sharing your accomplishments, sharing your achievements, sharing the things that you're proud about. And, you know, and that allows you to build interactions anyway, let alone just sort of allowing opportunities to arise. I just think it's so useful. We've had a question come in. I know that, you know, you've been with me quite a little while, Rhea, so I'm not going to keep you much longer.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
But a question from Slow Life come in saying, my question is that everyone is talking about colour and race, but no one is talking about eradication of racism. What is the root cause? I think that's I mean, you can chip in, Rhea, but I think that's a discussion for maybe a different day or a different platform, possibly, because, you know, we are talking about, of course, Black Teachers Connect, and we are talking about supporting colleagues and that sort, and supporting children. But I mean, is there anything you wanted to add in there at all?
I think, as you just said, it's a different conversation. I think we would be here maybe for a few days if we were going to talk about the root cause of racism. And I think this show is mainly talking about, you know, what we're doing to support our communities as a whole and our teaching communities. And I think that's another thing for me to just add on. When I created Black Teachers Connect, it wasn't just a network just for Black teachers to gain something from. It's a network for all teachers of all races to gain something from, be it to recognize the experiences of your Black colleagues, to understand how to navigate those experiences, to understand how to talk about those experiences, to just see what your colleagues might be dealing with is also really important. Everyone can take something away from that, because I think people can be very surprised when I talk about microaggressions and what that might mean to someone. Just saying to me as a Black woman, oh, you've changed your hair again, That's a microaggression for me, because it's like, you could change your hair all the time, but I don't say anything. But for me, if I'm wearing extensions one day and then I have my natural hair the next day, for someone to continue to comment on that, that's a microaggression. A colleague might not see it like that. So our platform gives the ability for people to recognize these things.
Yeah.
So it's for everyone to take something from.
Yeah. And I think also that was really important last year when all the social justice awareness exploded and that sort of thing. BTC was definitely in, one of those grassroots organizations that was at the forefront, and people, like you said, of all different races and backgrounds were able to connect with you and just learn. So important. So I guess, like I said, I've taken up quite a bit of your time.
And Jen, it's fine. And I wanted to also big you up, because the other day I was sitting in my living room at 10:30, and I swear I was watching some documentary and it went to break. And I saw on ITV, and I see you come on the TV, and I said, hold on a second. Look at Genevieve. I said, wow, this is amazing.
I just want to say
you are just killing it, and just continue to do what you were doing, because it's so amazing to witness your journey as well. So thank you so much as well for being an inspiration to other Black teachers like myself, other Caribbean Black British women like myself. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. It does. I always get really embarrassed when I talk about it, but thank you. I really appreciate that, Ria.
No problem at all. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Is there anything else that you wanted to share with listeners quickly before you go?
Just follow us on socials. We're hoping, if weather permits, to hopefully do maybe like a bit of a meet up in the park, like a Black teachers meet up in the park, hopefully towards the end of August. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And just follow us on the socials, keep engaged with what we're doing, tweet us, comment on our posts on Instagram, share the content, and just stay engaged. And hopefully we'll see some of you at an in-person event really soon, based on whether COVID will allow it or not.
Yes, and you've got a couple of just a really interesting discussion, a thumbs up from Nathan, one of our Teachers Talk Radio hosts. Thank you, Ria, and enjoy the rest of your evening, and enjoy Love Island. I will catch you up at 10 o'clock.
See you later. Bye.
Right, we will be back right after the news.
This is Teachers Talk Radio, and this is Teachers Talk Radio News.
This is your latest Teachers Talk Radio News with Gail Glenn.
In Scotland, the First Minister Nicola Sturgeon has announced that the wearing of face masks and social distancing in schools will remain for the first 6 weeks of the new academic year, which begins around the 16th of August. She stated that this also reflects the unique environment of schools, where large numbers of unvaccinated children and young people mix with adult staff. So for up to 6 weeks, subject then to review, there will be a continued requirement for staff to keep at least 1 metre distance from each other and from children and young people while on the school estate. She said, "We have also decided, after careful consideration, to retain the current requirements for face coverings in schools for staff and for children aged 12 or over. This includes asking young people and staff in secondary schools to wear face coverings during lessons and while inside school buildings." The First Minister also announced a further £10 million to local authorities to be allocated for improved ventilation and CO2 monitoring equipment in schools. In England, research carried out by Oxford Homeschooling using Department for Education data has monitored the largest increase and decreases in bullying exclusions between 2018-19 and 2019-20. Barking in Dagenham was the largest hotspot, showing a 200% increase in the number of suspensions and permanent exclusions from bullying. Figures were shown to more than double in 10 local authorities. Nationally across England, the data is more positive, and this is thought to be the result of school closures affecting the amount of time which students spent in contact with one another. The number of bullying exclusions fell by 31% in 2019-20. Greg Smith, head of operations at Oxford Homeschooling, said, "These new exclusion figures cover the whole of the 2019-20 school year. But with the final term being conducted during lockdown, it's interesting to see how the data compares to previous totals. In many ways, the measures introduced during the pandemic, like reduced class sizes and increased supervision, have helped address the country's bullying problem. So it will be interesting to see if schools try to adopt some of these permanently, even though restrictions are easing." This has been your daily education news briefing.
Live from London, this is The Late Show with Genevieve Bent on Teachers Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to The Late Show with me, Genevieve Bent. It is just after 9 o'clock. We have been here discussing the Black Teachers Network, a little bit about summer school and just the importance of, you know, taking time out for yourself and taking time out to just recover from this crazy, crazy term. I've just had a conversation with Ria, who gave up her time this evening to come and talk to me and share with us a little bit more about the Black Teachers Connect Network. And, you know, she's doing really, really amazing things. Like she said, if you are on social media and you do want to connect with them, it's at Black Teachers Co. I did text that in, so you'll be able to see that. There are, you know, they're doing amazing things, and they are there to support colleagues and really champion colleagues and, you know, continue to do amazing things and change educational landscape. And I think that's really important. Everything that she's doing is so, so important for, you know, just that support and that grassroots movement. So thank you to Ria, who joined us this evening. Of course, part of my relaxation and resting this summer has been just all about Olympics. Now, I have, for anyone who is connected with me on Twitter, I've literally been tweeting so much about Olympics. I am addicted. And when I say addicted, I am watching Olympics all day. First of all, and it doesn't matter what it is. It can be the equestrian competitions, it's the speed climbing or the rock climbing, which is new. It might be the swimming. And then I'll watch it at night when it starts at about 11 p.m. because, you know, because of the time difference. And then at 1 a.m. and then I'll fall asleep but I'll set an alarm so that it wakes me up around 3 or 4 when the athletics is also happening, you know, the heats and the runs. It's literally just taken over my life. I don't know if anyone else has felt like that, but I think particularly after the last year and everything that's happened, this has just been like a breath of fresh air. Even though lots of people said, there was lots of critics that Olympics shouldn't go ahead because, you know, there's no crowd, is it safe yet, etc., etc. Even though there's no crowd, I have just enjoyed it so much. I think that the athletes have done an amazing job in lifting the spirits of countries around the world. And certainly Team GB are just doing amazing at the moment. They've got so many medals and I just feel really proud. But I am literally up all day watching it, 1 a.m. at night, 4 a.m. And because of the time difference, my sleeping pattern, as I said earlier, has just been shot to pieces. There is no pattern, essentially. I just wake up and go to bed whatever time I like. And just thinking about, you know, from a teacher's perspective, obviously sports day happened towards the end of the academic year. And for us, it was the first time we'd done just the whole school sports day as opposed to the Academy Trust Sports Day. And so it was really the first time that we'd been able to see the students in action, just having fun, that sort of thing, and being really competitive. And I think the Olympics is, you know, it's helping to bring about that spirit in everyone over the last couple of weeks that it's been on. But I wanted to know, for anyone who is listening, I don't know if you want to text in, you may want to call in and join me. Of course, you can win a mug, or you may want to tweet at TT Radio 2021. But what would you do if you were an Olympian? What would your sport be? What would your activity be? I am personally a huge athletics fan, so that's why I'm waking up at those mad hours, because I want to watch all the athletics that are happening, all the different races, etc. But it's always been my favorite. That's what I've always enjoyed. And I mean, this was years and years ago, but when I was younger in school, so maybe the first 3 years of secondary school, I used to love doing hurdles and occasionally the long jump. And that was quite, because I was quite tall or long-legged. So I used to do the hurdles and the long jump. Those are like my enjoyment. That doesn't even make sense, guys. Those are the activities that I enjoyed the most. But what would you, if you were an Olympian, what would it be? Would it be archery? Would it be swimming? I mean, I'm not particularly a strong swimmer, but watching some of the swimmers in action, it has just been, everything that I've watched, honestly, has just been so, so amazing, so entrancing. I just can't get enough. Anna, you've texted in saying my sports would probably be cycling, taekwondo, or archery. That is a big selection. That is very varied. So you must be a very talented athlete then, Anna. That's all I'm going to take from that. Cycling, I love cycling. I do enjoy love is a bit of a reach, but I do enjoy cycling. Taekwondo, honestly, you must be seriously skilled. And archery, I've probably done once in my life. And I'm very, very impressive. Krishna has texted in saying archery because it's about focus, aim, and targets. Krishna, I don't know. You've got it like parallel with teaching at the moment. That's exactly what teaching is: focus, aim, and targets. And archery is literally the parallel of that, based on what you said. I love that. Thank you so much. You also said not a fan of the modern bow and arrow, though. My ancestors used wood and string, of course. We know that not everything modern is the best, definitely. Nathan is texting saying, I ran hurdles at school too. Were you any good, Nathan? I bet you were. I'm not saying I was the fastest. There were some seriously athletic girls in my year group, like really, really good, sort of local team, national team level. But I could get over the bars, put it that way, over the hurdles. See, I can't even describe it properly. Anna, you said these are mostly just sports I've done during my childhood. Makes sense. And I'm sure if you pick them back up again, it'll be very, very, hopefully it'd be quite a simple transition. It's all about recurve bows. Oh, that's related to what Krishna's texting in saying, the modern bow and arrow. I'll be honest with you, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I don't know what a recurve bow is, but the archery has been really good as well. And anyone who is watching Olympics, why have I forgotten his name? Michael Johnson, I think that's his name, you know, the Olympic world champion. He was talking about how much he's enjoyed the archery as well. So literally every sport has been amazing, from speed climbing, skateboarding. Oh, the skateboarding had me in a trance, honestly. First the women's and then the men's, and also the, what was the other one? BMX riding. BMX, so the two one Olympic champion, that was Shrivers, Bethany, and then of course Kai, who won silver. Amazing stuff. And I just think that this Olympics, like I said, it's come at the right time in terms of really boosting morale. But also I think it's given us a new selection of women and girls in particular. Of course, all of the Olympians athletes, but in particular, new selection of women and girls to celebrate at school next year. Whether that's International Women's Day, of course, whether that is Black History Month, whether that is Windrush, I just think it's given us this sort of new new sort of cohort to select from to really champion and push in terms of success across sports, but success across, you know, all of those qualities that we build in students, whether it's resilience, whether it's determination, whether it's optimism. You know, of course, every school has an ethos and has values. And I think the Olympians just really showcase that to, you know, to the top level. Amazing, amazing stuff. And my standout Olympians in terms of women and girls have been Dean Asher-Smith, Daryl Nita, Keely Hodgkinson, Emily Campbell, who did the weightlifting, broke the weightlifting, or first time has won a weightlifting medal in terms of women's weightlifting, I think in years and years and years. Holly Bradshaw, who won the pole vault today, in fact, amazing. She won a bronze, won a bronze, of course. And of course, you know, as a teacher, I just felt so, so proud of 13-year-old Sky Brown. Now, is there anyone, any listeners who watched the skateboarding competition? I mean, she's been all over the news, but I watched it and I saw her, you know, when she won that bronze and she jumped into the arms of her dad, and literally I've had so many emotions these Olympics, and of course I've cried quite a bit. But that one really got to me, just as a teacher and thinking about all the young people that we see day to day, knowing that she's the same age as them, knowing how much work and effort and time she's put into this to go to Tokyo, to go to the Olympics and win a bronze medal at 13 years old. It's just been, it's been a lot. I think these have been probably the most emotional Olympics that I've ever watched or ever witnessed. And I mean, what to say, really? Was there anyone who's listening that did watch that skateboarding competition or watched her win that bronze medal? How did it make you feel if you did? So there's been so many great British athletes who have really just done such amazing things despite injuries, despite this, that, like I said, those core values have just shone through with these athletes. And of course, I support Team GB. I'm British. So definitely big, big, big support there. But for anyone that does follow my Twitter, you'll know that I can't stop tweeting about Jamaica. I am Team JA, Team Jamaica, of course, because that's my heritage. That is where my family are. That's where my family's from. So, you know, I support, my heart was with both of them, both teams. And Team Jamaica, of course, are just, they've got it. They have, for such a small island, as you know, our impact has been phenomenal. And for anyone who does watch athletics, of course, it was strange seeing athletics happen, the 100-meter, 200-meter relay, and not seeing Usain Bolt there. Even though he's been out of action for a little while, just not seeing him there has been a little bit strange. But of course, there's so much talent. So, you know, I've talked about Team GB, but you've got double-double queen, Elaine Thompson, who won the gold for 100 and 200 metres. You've got Shelly Ann, Fraser Price, Hansel Parchment, who won 110 metre hurdles, the men's hurdles today or this morning. Ali Atkinson, who's the first Afro-Jamaican swimmer to win a world swimming title. She didn't win in the Olympics, unfortunately, but she, you know, she got to the Olympics and she's made history, essentially. And I do think it is going to give students a boost for PE and physical education and just, you know, that team spirit and that competitive spirit when they return in September. And if it, you know, I'm sure it will, but even if it doesn't, it's given me a boost, teachers a boost, just to be able to lean on everything that has happened with these Olympics and all the values that we try to teach and instill in our students and in ourselves. Have just really been at the forefront of everything that's happened during these Olympics, whether it's winning or whether it's making it to a final, whether it's just being there. I think it just really just, it just gives the right messages to our students, really showcases that. The Olympics, I mean, it's been a whirlwind, really. And I know it's coming to an end, so I'm going to be really sad about that. But at least I can get some sort of sleeping pattern back. we are coming towards the end of the show, and I know that I'm sure there are many people in there who has tuned in throughout the evening who wants to, although they're joining me, which I love, and wants to go off and enjoy the rest of the evening watching Love Island. I wonder if there are any other teachers watching Love Island. I know that one of the Teachers Talk Radio hosts, Khalil, who does Sunday lunch, he has been tweeting about it every night. He's got really, really hooked. And I think it might have been Nathan. Nathan, you've texted in just Khalil. I think it might have been Nathan who replied to one of Khalil's tweets about the fact that he's constantly tweeting Love Island. But I love it. It entertains me. I don't think you can watch Love Island without going onto Twitter. I just think it just doesn't compare. You need Twitter. You need it side by side just to enhance the experience. So I'll definitely be going on to watch that after I finish the show this evening. Before we do sort of move to a close, there's a couple of other things I wanted to say. I'll be back after the adverts.
Every teacher loves stationery, right? Imagine getting a selection of fun, beautiful and unique stationery items designed and selected especially for teachers, delivered through your door every month. You need to check out teacherslovestationery.club.
I'm always so excited when the box arrives. It's such a treat.
My Teachers Love Stationery Club box is just a little treat to myself every month.
It's always full of delightful and surprising items, including some really good quality stationery brands like Faber-Castell and Stabilo.
And because you never know what you're going to get, it makes it even more fun and special when you get it.
It feels really great to be supporting a family business that's run by real teachers. I can't help feeling like they just know what I'm going to enjoy using stationery-wise better than I do myself.
Visit teacherslovestationery.club and enter the code TTRADIO when you buy your first stationery box to save £2 today. teacherslovestationery.club. Live from London, this is The Late Show with Genevieve Bent on Teachers Talk Radio.
Okay, so you are listening to The Late Show with me, Genevieve Bent. We are moving towards the end of the show now. And I've been talking about various things this evening, whether it's the Olympics, whether it's summer school, whether it is talking with my very special guest who joined me earlier in the show, and that was Rhea Gibbs, talking about the Black Teachers Network, Black Teachers Connect Network, my apologies. I love being able to just talk about random things and different things. But there was one other thing that I wanted to share with you listeners, and that was about a particular article that came out on TES. I think it was recently, because it's about the Tokyo 2020. And there's a particular school in Loughborough. Now, Loughborough is obviously, I think it's obviously, geography was never my strong point. I've flopped in year nine. But Loughborough, I think it's Midlands, I think. And Loughborough College principal did an article reflecting on the town's success and raising Olympians. So she spoke about the fact that Loughborough College itself has birthed a number of different Olympians. And I think they said 33. 33 Olympians just from Loughborough, which I think is crazy. I know obviously London is, it's the capital of England, and it's a city that there are lots of athletes who have been from London that have gone to the Olympics. But I think where Loughborough is slightly smaller? Again, Loughborough isn't my, geography isn't my speciality, I'm really sorry. But that's a massive achievement. So she did an article and she said if Loughborough were a country in the Olympics, they'd be 12th in the table, which is huge. So my favourite Olympic statistic is that if the town of Loughborough were a country, it would currently sit 12th in the Olympic medal table. And the college I lead would be 33rd. Oh, there we go, 33rd. So it's not just sheer competitiveness that makes me delight in that. The pride I feel in seeing a current student or alumnus of my college on the podium epitomises everything that is great about further education. So it's not a school, it is an FE college. But they are home to, you know, Loughborough is home to one of the world's best sports universities. And I know a couple of teachers who went to Loughborough University and did sports science. So that makes sense, of course. And it's ranked top 10 in every national league table for sports universities. So, of course, there's that link there of why they would have so much Olympic success. And it talks about being part of a journey in the, you know, the journey from being just a regular person to being an Olympian, an Olympic athlete. And I thought that was just really, really beautiful because, you know, technically you could turn any subject and turn it into a teacher's talk radio discussion or debate. But this one was really nice just because I wanted to focus on a little bit about Olympics today. So yeah, I just wanted to share that. And of course you can find that on TES, and she just sort of ends it with sport can change and save lives. Does that sound familiar? Further education, which was really nice. And yeah, really nice. I wanted to share that with you on a really last, I guess, a final note really. We are going to end there. I think that I've really enjoyed, personally, I really enjoyed the conversation with Ria this evening, and it's also been good to find out a little bit more about what teachers are doing this summer and how they've spent the first couple of weeks of their summer holiday. And I did get a tweet come in from Thandi, who she's one of my previous guests. She represented Chat Chemistry quite a few weeks ago, and she's talking about being really excited for her summer school, and she said she can't wait. She's got sixth form and any other students who just love STEM. Now, she's known as STEMI Miss Bander, so of course she loves STEM, to organize it, and they get Crest Awards too. So for any science teachers who are familiar with Crest Awards, they are like they're a big deal. They're a big deal in science. Plus some can use it for volunteering in terms of the Duke of Edinburgh. She has enrichment prefects, and people donating, and they've sorted resources, requisitions, which is a science department thing, gift bags and all sorts of things, and there's a day for each main subject. I love that. So she's really excited about being in school next week, and I'm in school next week, and you know, it will be sort of just a back to routine type of thing, which I'm probably looking forward to, if I'm honest. But that's it from me. I want to thank you, and I want to wish you a really enjoyable rest of the evening. And even if you don't watch Love Island, whatever it is that you're going to go off and do, and enjoy the summer holidays. And I will see you or speak to you next week. Have a lovely evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in.
You've been listening to Teachers Talk Radio. Tune in live and listen back at ttradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you next time on Teachers Talk Radio.